Okay, we've given everyone a seed thought, and everybody's going to mull it over and give their impressions of whatever comes to your mind. And when something comes to your mind, maybe something else will afterwards. So just give us your wisdom on this thought. We'll start with a volunteer and then go around the circle from there. Who wants to volunteer to go first? Okay.
So what, read the thought and then...
Yeah, read the thought and then give us your thoughts on it. And let us give you the microphone.
All right, this says, when life is sweet, relax and enjoy it. When life is tough, ignore it, forge ahead, and look forward to the sweetness to return. For it surely will. So when I'm reading this, I'm thinking, when life is sweet, yes, relax and enjoy it, but it's also a good time to prepare for the type that when life is tough, for it surely will return, and when life is tough, to embrace it and grow from it, and then forge ahead and look forward for the sweetness to return.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting how that's kind of my philosophy of life is... And a lot of people, I think, don't take advantage of life when it is really good because they think, this isn't going to last because it's going to get really bad again. So they aren't able to enjoy the really good parts of life. So I think the best thing to do when your life is going good, just make the best of it, really enjoy it. Then when your life isn't going so good, just ignore it as much as possible, minimize the negativity. And then pretty soon the positivity will come back. So overall, your life can be much better than it is bad. You know, that's kind of, I think, the basic idea there. But that works pretty good for me overall.
One thing I've found, or that I've been, I guess, learning is, you know, this is a world of opposites, of duality. And coming to a form of unity mindset is not just focusing on the positive things, but embracing both the positive and the negative, and seeing it all together as a way to learn and to grow.
Yeah.
And that, you know, ignoring the bad things, we may not grow from that if we're just ignoring it. But if something is happening to us that we don't like, look at it as a way to grow, and move, help us to become better people. Like if there's, let's say, somebody who's on our case a lot, learn how to love them regardless and be able to not let their negativity affect us.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move. We'll move in this direction then. We'll go to Sean next.
These are all your thoughts, right?
Yeah, I wrote them all. Yeah, I come up with something new every day, try to.
That's awesome. This one says, money is no more evil than power, for money is a form of power, and all money can be directed toward good or evil. So my thoughts on this one are, money is no more evil than power, for money is a form of power, and all power can be directed toward good or evil. So money's good.
A friend of mine said, I've been rich and I've been poor, but rich is better.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, I mean, growing up or in my sphere, I mean, money was the root of all evil, and then you can't get through the eye of a, you know, whatever. So, I learned later that scripture, maybe you can verify this, there's a place where they have to take everything off the camel to get it into Jerusalem. And so that's what that's talking about.
The eye of the needle?
Yeah.
That's not in the Old Testament.
Oh, that's true. So
yeah, they had to strip the camel of everything that, all the material goods that was on him for him to get through the eye of the needle, you know, they say.
That's in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like it because it's more dominant here talking about money is no more evil than power. So.
Yeah, it's interesting that... Jesus had some rich friends, like Joseph of Arimathea was one of the richest guys in Rome.
Yeah.
And he had all kinds of ships and traded for tin. And tin was like the big thing that was worth a lot of money back in those days. And then he supplied the tomb for Jesus, which that in itself, a tomb like he had, was very expensive.
Yeah.
And he never condemned him. They go by what the rich young man came to him and says, what do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, well, keep all the commandments. He says, well, I've done all that. Is there anything else? He says, well, yeah, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. Yeah. And he couldn't quite do that. But that was probably a particular lesson that particular person had to learn.
Yeah.
It wasn't that every person had to sell everything he had. But that I think that was a lesson for that particular individual. If he wanted to progress farther, he had to detach himself from his material goods.
You know? I recently heard about a person who did that. So the person that's running for president in a major country in Africa, when he was younger, he took his inheritance. You know, his father gave it to him. His father was pretty well known in the DRC, which is the Central Congo area. But he took his inheritance and he helped the poor, the needy, and the fatherless. And so he became known, very well known, because he was just helping everybody. I mean, he wasn't throwing it away. He was helping everybody. It was,
yeah,
it was powerful help for people in need. And so in the end, the government came after him because they wanted, it's a long story, I'm shortening it, but they wanted him to support them because then they get elected, right? Anyway, he ended up in exile after he was beat half to death, literally. A general saved his life by pretending to kill him, says, you got to get out of here to save me and you. Ended up in Uganda, learned English because they speak French in the DRC. But just an amazing story of the struggle in Uganda as a refugee. And and then then somebody from, what's the country that speaks French up there?
New Guiana.
In Europe?
France?
France.
No.
Belgium. Somebody from Belgium came down. And anyway, he ends up making some money, working his tail off, and about kills himself just working too hard. But then he gets a little bit well-known or whatever. The DRC comes after him. He ends up in California as a refugee.
Really?
Where he meets some people, and then they just barely got him. They had to pay $150,000, which he didn't have, to get him on the ballot in the DRC. So he's currently running for office, not because he wanted to, but because the DRC people, they obviously remember him. He did an amazing work when he was there by giving away, selling. He gave away all that he had, and just gave it all away.
And they just wound up getting him in trouble.
Well, I mean, it benefited a ton of people, but
yeah,
then in not wanting to support the crooked government people that wanted him to help them with their election, because that's what they run for office is by influential people helping them. But anyway, in the end, he gave it all up to those in need. He ended up with nothing. And then he, you know, got some things by doing some work with the guy in Belgium, in Uganda. And then now he's running for president, which could change. I mean, it could change so many things because there's there's 300 some odd organizations. So 300 separate organizations in that country want him to run for their president.
Really?
300.
Wow.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens, if it's a fair election or whatnot. So
well, it also kind of illustrates the old maxim that says no good deed goes unpunished. It's almost like if you want to do good, you just have to not expect things to go your way. You have to earn any good that you contribute to the world, it seems like.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well, Annie's next.
Okay, so I'll read it again. This one says, nothing can be withheld by those who persevere. And I really like that one. What came to mind was, we have free will, so we can decide whatever we want to decide. And that's one thing. And then we are like God, we are gods. And we have the power of God, We can do the things that God does, even though we're not so good at it always, but we could. So if we decide to do something, we can decide anything. And by trial and error, there's nothing that can stop us from getting there, because we are gods, and we have the power of God, and we have the power to do that. We just need time to do it. I mean, we could probably have many tries. But in the end, if we continue, we'll do it.
Okay. Well, thanks, Annie.
But
would you move the mic closer to Angel there?
What about if it's a bad idea?
There you go.
What's a bad idea, sir?
What about if it's a bad idea?
If what is?
The one who wants to accomplish and persevere, but his idea is bad.
You can still accomplish it.
Yeah.
Until karma kicks you back.
Yeah.
It can be directed toward good and evil.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Couldn't Annie's thought also, though, be if we're going to learn something new, or we're going to make a part of ourselves, we have to give everything we have and persevere towards that goal. We can't hold anything back, because then we're not really committed.
Well, yeah, if you really want to really accomplish anything, you just can't do it halfway. You got to go full bore. Give it everything you got, pretty much. And that's the trouble, is a lot of people want to do half a dozen different things, and they scatter their energies and aren't able to accomplish any of them. So you kind of have to pick one or two that's really important to have enough energy to make it happen. And this is the trouble with intelligent people. Intelligent people get a lot of ideas, and a lot of very intelligent people are not very successful because they scatter their energies. They get an idea they start working on, and they think, oh, this is a better idea, and then they start working on that. And so they scatter their energies around. And I've had this problem in my life, especially in my younger years, of getting a lot of ideas, and it can be detrimental. And that's one thing I discovered in my sales work, when I've sold a lot to small businesses all around the country, and I paid attention to which ones were successful and which ones weren't. And many of the very successful ones were run by a person I considered not very smart. But he was kind of like Forrest Gump, that he just put his nose to the grindstone and did one thing good, and he was successful. And I call this the Forrest Gump principle, because Forrest Gump wasn't very smart, but when he decided to do something, he did that and nothing else, and he succeeded at whatever he did, even though he wasn't very bright. Whereas you take a person almost as smart as Einstein, he may have so many things going in his head that he can't focus on one thing enough to get it done. So that focusing of energies is a really important thing for getting things done. And I guess we need to apply that to the molecule. We may need to focus as much energy as possible on making it happen. Because there's a lot of good spiritual people out there, but they do the same thing. They scatter their energies in a lot of different directions. And spiritually, it's important to focus our energies also, realizing you can't do everything in one life, but you can take your next step. Okay.
There's a principle in business that says the smaller the piece of the pie that you go for, the larger the piece of the pie you'll get.
Yeah,
so just focus on one thing only. Do what, like Sanders just did chicken. Or what's his name did, Redenbacher did popcorn.
Yeah.
Just did focus on one thing, and they got a big piece of the pie from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
Well, JJ, what about, you know, you and Curtis were talking about how you were focusing on trying to teach the LDS people, the Mormon people, and you didn't get any responses, but then when you took your attention off it, then all of a sudden they were coming to you.
Yeah, well, but our attention was on just finding whoever would be interested. And so focusing on kind of standard LDS people, they're just not the type of people that are even interested in what we're doing. So it's not that we changed our focus so much as we changed our approach.
Tactics.
So if your focus is completely the wrong direction, this is another problem. If your focus is in the wrong direction with the wrong material to the wrong people, like trying to sell refrigerators to Eskimos, you're just not going to be successful. You have to have something that people are interested in order to create a successful endeavor. And, you know, there's a lot of people interested in taking the next spiritual step or doing what is possible to unite heaven and earth. They just don't know how to go about it.
I think Rowena's talking about creating a vacuum, right, Rowena? You put your focus on and then you take it
off.
Yeah,
that's a vacuum principle, yeah.
That vacuum is filled with what you're looking for.
Yeah. When you send this very powerful idea out into the ethers, it gathers force and it builds strength.
Yeah, the army of the voice kicks in.
Yeah.